your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 16th of June, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I have joining me in studio only because I plan to bait him like his group of season, Mr. C.A. Newry. We're talking what's in the news and open line. It's open line, what you want to talk about, the numbers to call, 323-6232, that's 3232. 325-4316, that's 325-4316. 325-4259, 325-4259. And toll free for our Family Island listeners, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. Text line is always powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796. It's an open line today. There's lots to talk about. Mr. Newry, I have a lot of stories that I've been sort of collecting over the last 2 weeks that we kind of didn't have time to touch on that I may touch on today. But for today, until somebody calls in, we talk about what you want to talk about. Here's some headlines. Traffic fatality. This was posted on Eyewitness News website yesterday afternoon slash evening. Police are investigating a traffic fatality that occurred on Saturday, the 15th of June, 2025, shortly before 6:30 p.m. Initial reports indicate that the incident took place in the vicinity of East Street and Robinson Road and involved two vehicles. One of the drivers, a 66-year-old man, was transported to the hospital by ambulance, where he later died. There were no visible signs of physical injury to the deceased. Therefore, an autopsy will be conducted to determine the exact cause of death. Second story up, vandal damages and tries to burn Abaco shelter. Mr. Newry, this is the story for me. A hurricane shelter under construction in Abaco has been damaged by a vandal who tried to set a fire in the building. The Abaco Shelter and Community Center was damaged in an incident overnight. This morning, the site contractor found that someone had entered the building through a rear door and defaced interior walls and doors with spray paint. The vandal had also scattered insulation material across the floor and tried to ignite it, said the Disaster Risk Management Authority. However, the insulation is fire retardant, and there was no significant fire damage to the structure. Police have been notified, and the DRMA said extra security measures are being implemented. Central and South Andres MP Leon Lundy, Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister, said officials are confident they can get the project on track. The DRMA said it is not expected the vandalism will significantly delay construction. DRMA Managing Director Aaron Sargent said, quote, it is a shame to think someone may have been seeking to damage or destroy the shelter. The shelter is a crucial asset for the 2025 hurricane season, which is forecast to be above average and for seasons to come. I doubt this shelter is going to be open for the 2025 hurricane season. That's what the part, this is part of the story that got me. It's unlikely the shelter could be open for the 2025 hurricane season. It's already begun. It's the 16th. We're already 2 weeks into hurricane season. It's just the language used by those involved that causes concern, right? There was no significant fire damage to the structure, right? And then Leon Lundy says, officials are confident they can get the project on track. If there was no significant damage, why you have to get the project back on track?
Do you see any pictures?
No, I didn't see any pictures of the damage.
So we don't know how, what significant.
How extensive, right, we don't know how extensive the damage was.
Could be a toaster. Did catch fire.
Did the individual remove already installed insulation? Or did they access installation that was available or there waiting to be installed?
Did they say how they gained entry?
Yeah, they did. They said that they gained entry through a rear door. That's the other part, the part about security, right? Extra security measures. What security measures did you have that somebody could access the building? Like, what are the security measures that were in place?
What is being suggested that someone wants to burn down a government building? Just randomly, you know what? I can set this half-constructed building
on fire. Have we had...
Knowing that it's the hurricane shelter, that's what they build in there. The whole island knows what it is.
Have we had an official report, a conclusion, a report from fire services or RBP, FCOP, or Ministry of National Security as we go up the chain? Have we had an official statement as to the cause of the fire or the status of the investigation into the cause of the fire for the Hyacinth Stewart building fire several weeks ago?
Not yet. I didn't see anything. Has any construction or renovation started since?
I don't know. So I want to know whether this is a trend. Is this a second incident, right, of arson attempting to destroy a government building? Mm. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
We won't know that until we get a final investigative report from the RBPF as to how the fire started. There were conflicting messages in those stories because initially we were told that the fire started in Cost Rights on their property.
Yeah.
And then they came out and said, no, it didn't start on our, or at least in that specific, they came out and said it didn't start there, that specific area that was identified. Mm-hmm. And I think we deserve to know. Mm-hmm. These are our assets,
yes,
not your assets. Let me take a moment, a quick brief, not so brief, but a quick and important notice. Public traffic advisory notice, temporary road closure to traffic. The general public is advised that on Monday, the 16th of June, 2025, producer prep the caller, please. On Monday, the 16th of June, 2025, starting at 9 p.m., so that's today, starting at 9 p.m. tonight, BTL will be transporting, I think it's supposed to be BPL, will be transporting an engine via a trailer convoy from Arawaki Port to the BPL Clifton Pier site. The estimated time for the convoy to depart Arawaki Port to Clifton Pier is approximately 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Motorists are advised to avoid these routes for brief periods as follows. West Bay Street, between Fish Fry and Saunders Beach roundabout. The estimated amount of time will be 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. From New Providence Highway, that's the roundabout between, so that's Saunders Beach roundabout to the six-legged roundabout at University Drive is estimated at another 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. From John F. Kennedy Drive, from the six-legged roundabout at University Drive to Gladstone Road roundabout. Mm-hmm. So you're going to head west. Once you hit the six-legged round, they're going to head west. That portion of the route is going to take approximately 19 minutes. Mm-hmm. The next leg from Blake Road roundabout to the Airport Road roundabout is estimated at 8 minutes. Windsor Field Road from the Airport roundabout to Old Fort Bay roundabout is estimated at 30 minutes. I think the road is different. Mm-hmm. It becomes narrow. It's a one-lane road. Mm-hmm. The topography is different. It's not as steady as the JFK strip, and the route's going to take longer. From Weston Road, that's from Old Fort Bay roundabout to Serenity Drive and Nelson Road, that's an estimated 27 minutes. And from Nelson Road to Clifton Pier is estimated at another 39 minutes.
Okay.
So it's approximately 4 hours the convoy will be moving. Motorists are being urged to plan ahead and use alternate routes. We apologize for any inconvenience and ask that the public be cautious and exercise patience during this endeavor.
I've been caught behind one of those convoys. It's a slow moving.
Yeah.
And if there's a lot of traffic, it can back up traffic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you turn off, definitely, because it's very slow moving.
After this call, I want to get back to that,
mm-hmm.
right? This, not the BPL convoy itself, but the convoys of this nature. Mm. Let's go to the phone line, though. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Right, okay. I don't believe those time frames that you're saying. Based on the fact that you saw this traffic in Nassau, I think it can take at least about 6 to 8 hours.
Well,
they must be going. They must be going fly.
Hey,
you say 20 minutes from point one to point A to point B. Then at one point in time, you said 8 minutes. They go fly.
Boy,
not on Nassau Road.
Well, listen, it's going to be at 9 p.m. and I imagine for this exercise, Royal Bahamas Police Force officers will be moving about in cars, trucks, and motorcycles, right, along the route to ensure that drivers who may not be aware of what's happening don't just decide to do their own thing and risk injury or damage to the equipment, right? The police officers, because it's going to be at 9 p.m. tonight, so I imagine that RBPF officers will be deployed along the route to be able to advise motorists of what the delay is. But at 9 p.m., the traffic should dip a little bit.
Boy, I tell you, if you believe that, that's on you. Second thing, I'll bring up, right, the time frame estimated for the insurance to claim on the fire, right, on the report. Do you ever go into a traffic accident before and try to get a police report?
I have stories, but yes.
All right, then. So I have to even debate on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know this can take forever.
Listen, we're still waiting for...
And then election next year, too?
You
can't be serious.
You know we're still waiting for the report on the investigation into the 2018 BPL generator fire.
All right, then.
We're still waiting on that.
All right, so you might even forget about that one.
Mm. Thank you very much, caller.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Newry, this is the thing that I found interesting. If these guys who are carrying, they say they're carrying one engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be transporting an engine via a trailer convoy from Arawaki Port to the BPL Clifton Pier site. The people who drive in these vehicles, they need CDLs. They need commercial driver's licenses, mm-hmm. right? You have mm-hmm. to be certified to be able to operate a vehicle of this size and to operate a project of this size, right?
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time they say it can take from Fish Fry to Saunders Beach roundabout at 9 p.m. on a Monday night, 14 minutes. You know what I realize?
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the correct estimation, right, of the time it will take, given the speed that they are in, allowed to drive, given the nature of what it is they're driving, right? What about all these other CDL by them who's be flying through the town, especially the ones with... Now, I find that typically gas tank responsible, right? I don't see them engaging in foolishness on the road. More likely, I see drivers not taking seriously the tanker and not understanding the distance to maintain behind a tanker, right? The stopping distance of a tanker for those people who like to run out of side corners. In fact, one morning on Shirley Street coming to work, I watched this driver come out of Shirley Collins Avenue by Doctor's Hospital. They just flew. They ignored the stop sign. I think they were attempting to get in front of the 18-wheeler. But when they entered Shirley Street, they dropped their speed down to 10 miles an hour, causing the 18-wheeler to slam on brakes in an attempt to avoid hitting them. So if these are, and I believe this, these are the proper estimated times, calculated with all the formulas necessary, who is assisting the other CDL drivers in plotting their routes? Is it that they don't understand the speed that they're supposed to drive when transporting or towing, right? Or is it that their employers have no regard for the safety protocols involved and emphasize that their drivers prioritize a time target as opposed to a safety target? Here is a text. Good morning, Aaron and Cecil. Is there a flyer or PDF for BPL to share this information? I checked their Facebook page and nothing is there. Okay, texter, here's what you're going to do. You're going to open up your phone and you're going to go to WhatsApp. Right? You're going to go to WhatsApp and at the bottom, Mr. Neuro, you have an iPhone, right? So I want you to tell the people how to do it for iPhone users. I'm going to my WhatsApp main page. I'm looking at the bottom of the page. It says chats, updates, communities, calls. Go to updates. And then you're going to see update status channels. And it's going to say find channels to follow. And you're going to search that list until, and you're going to click explore more. And you're going to then search BPL. You're going to search Bahamas Power and Light, and you're going to add their channel to your WhatsApp feed. That's what you're going to do. And apparently, they are very good. I'm searching it up right now, Bahamas Power and Light. Oh, nothing there. Let's search BPL. Nothing there yet, but I think Bahamas Power and Light has a WhatsApp channel that you can follow for information. I thought I saw it before, Mr. Neary. I don't see it right now. Let me try that again. Bahamas Power and Light, or let's try BEC. Anyway, I am almost certain that there is a WhatsApp channel that you can follow for Bahamas Power and Light updates and notices. Now, here's the thing, Texter. I shouldn't have to go to WhatsApp. I shouldn't have to go to WhatsApp. WhatsApp, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, none of these entities should be the primary source of information for customers, residents, and citizens. None of it. Producer, let's go to the phone line. The numbers to call are 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259-242-300-5720. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Cecil.
Hey.
Morning, morning.
Aaron, I think the more poignant question that needs to be asked in this regard is, you know, why are these 18-wheelers on the road during normal traffic hours? I would believe that even with the tankers should, if there's a service station that requires fuel, and they know that that station requires fuel, why aren't they moving during the early morning hours? Why are they waiting for the 9 o'clock rush hour or even the 7 or 8 o'clock? They know these persons are coming out to get to work. Mm-hmm. And we have all these night hours. Why aren't they utilizing that? And the same thing applies to the 18-wheelers. Why are they on the road during normal work hours, especially between the hours of 7 and 9? I don't get that. The same goes for the construction vehicles. Why are they on the road during that kind of time? You know you're supposed to be on a site. Why isn't it that better arrangements are made for these heavy-duty vehicles to be off the road during certain times and utilize the morning hours more efficiently, which is more safer for them because they can transport, they can take their time and go from point A to point B without having to worry about anything? This is a question that's been asked for a very, very long time. And we, again, in this country, it seems as if there's nothing seriously being taken into consideration to neutralize some of these things that we're going through. Okay? But thanks for taking my call. Just my point for this.
No, man, absolutely. Thank you very much. And then here comes the summer months, where you're going to see people driving heavy equipment, construction equipment, to work sites, as opposed to towing them to work sites on flatbed trailers. This is going to happen in the middle of the day when the asphalt and tarmac is at its highest temperature, is pliable, and all of the road works that had taken place prior to that will be damaged by equipment that should not be driving on public roads. They should be towed from the home base to the work site and then returned to the home base, towed on a flatbed trailer off the ground. Let's prep that next caller. I remember turning into town one day, Mr. Newry, and watching not the steamroller, the vehicle with just the two barrel wheels, big barrel wheel in the front, like it flattens the road.
Mm-hmm.
That was just on Bay Street, just mashing up the road. Just mashing it up. I was like, wow. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have time to discuss how much time it takes for the generator to reach it. I have time to talk about things that I really think make sense, right? What are we going to talk about? How long? Does it really matter, Ms. Green? I mean, they're still behind time, right? In doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? Upgrading the infrastructure and keeping it beyond disrepair, right?
True.
They're lacking in that because every summer it's a problem. So, just brace yourself and knock according now. I'd like to send condolences to the officer that was killed in the Palmdale Plaza, right?
Mm-hmm.
That nobody seems to want to talk about now. Just to know, my father was in charge of the flying squad at one point in time in CID.
Mm-hmm.
And him and the guy that owned Archipel, they were friends for decades. And he used to follow the car that went to make the deposit. So the guy that went to make the deposit, can I hypothesize that maybe, I hope there's no one in the church that knows that Benny's making this deposit or the person is just sitting there randomly waiting on him, right? So now he's a reservist, but I don't know how well Trini is, but he should have never attempted to do that by himself, and he should also never have attempted to get in a conflict with three men, especially if they're armed. So I don't know if it's because they're cocky or what it is, but like I told them, and I'm telling you guys, the government is starting a flame that they can't tame. They have let down the Bahamian people by allowing everybody to come into this country, and they don't know. The question is, who is burning down, attempting to burn down this hurricane shelter in Abaco, and during the past months, they said some of these fires in the Freeport and Abaco, they were started by humans, right?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
No, there was great concern in Abaco that a number of the fires may have been set as an act of arson.
All right, but this era of technological advancement and the armamentarium that they have, right? It shouldn't be hard to find it out. So I'm saying is, let's think here if these guys are thinking. Because I find it very imbecilic to put up a multi-million dollar building and then don't have no cameras or anything or any form of security. It's like you're building a hotel in an island that's sparsely populated that we know the dominant demographic, but you don't find it necessary to police it or put a security measures in place. It's like, this is taxpayers' money. You think they would do that to their own homes, Ms. Green? Build a $4-something million thing and leave it for anybody to just enter. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the people from elective governments. From the thing, knew of the problem, Loftus Roker started to solve the problem. The problem came up chronologically, and now the onus is on the PM's back. But we see a way going into the village and telling the people he's them and we is we. Whatever it is, man. I didn't even have time for it. But let me tell you something. You all start a flame, you all can't tame. You see the inner city now?
Yeah.
Let me show you something.
Hold on, 52.
All of us.
Hold on.
Because we are passive and we don't get in.
But hold on, 52. Whenever I have a conversation about immigration, I will have a real conversation about immigration. And I'm not saying, hold on. I'm not saying that what you're saying is not real, but what I'm saying is it's not the fullness of the conversation, right? I want us to be very careful how we talk about these situations, because you're going to have a hard time convincing me that a Haitian migrant is more likely to be a criminal than a Bahamian that grew up in the drug era in the Bahamas. Like, we're getting close to importing all of these incidents and crimes on a desperate Haitian community or elements, right? Rogue elements within a desperate Haitian community. But I offer on the table that the rogue elements in a desperate Bahamian community that has no idea why their economy looks the way it does or why they feel so broke in an economy that's supposed to be flourishing is because they don't know or understand the impact of the drug era on Bahamian society. That's why. You're trying to convince me that the Haitian migrant is more likely to engage in this type of activity, and I could name you right now 12 big, grown, supposed to be respectable men in this country who will tell you without batting an eyelid that Scarface or Belly or Shooters or Casino or Goodfellas or The Godfather is their favorite movie. Yeah? So let's be very careful, because broad brushes apply broad strokes. I want to talk about immigration. I want us to have a real conversation about immigration. And what turned my switch just now is when you talked about Pendling and immigration. But let's fast forward here. What we need is for the powers that be, the policymakers, to have real conversations with us about what their foreign, the FDI policies look like, right? So we could understand how much labor is required to realize the projects they have on the table. Then we can understand how much labor is actually available in the country, Bahamian labor is available to work on the projects, and then you ask the policymakers, where are you going to get all the other laborers from? Where are they going to come from? How are they going to get here? Where are they going to stay while they're here? For 2.5 years straight, I've been pointing to the statements of the policymakers, telling you exactly what they're doing. Don't attack the Haitian. Engage the policymakers who have no policy that does not involve Haitian labor. And then ask them, what's the plan? What's the rationale? How are you going to do this? And why are you pitting me against migrants for opportunities? Good, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
And I was listening to the show, and your last comment prompted me to call.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the president of the Contractors Association.
Yes, sir.
And just to add to your commentary, that is entirely the point that we've been making for longer than you've been asking these questions. For more than 15, 20 years, we started to see the trend. And we ask the question, if we are a developing nation, that we are, we continue to be sometimes very myopic about the things we want to be exclusive for our country. We continue to talk about the things that we figure only I should do. What I said in an article about probably 2 years ago, that 35 days, all labor in this country is done by either Haitians or Bahamians of Haitian descent. And that was a statement that was then further backed up by the Department of Labor and Immigration. Now, that wasn't said to cause persons to have a challenge with them. It was just stating the fact that persons have migrated here to fill voids that exist.
Mm-hmm.
They're not migrating here to compete, you know. They're filling voids. And until we do exactly what you mentioned, until we analyze what is the size of our skill, what is the size of our skill base, and then if we recognize we have this pipeline of work and we say we need X amount of skills, the answer to the question should be then, when do I start training my people, whether they are in country or we just talking about Bahamians, to supply the skills needed? We don't do that. We don't do that. Then we complain when we go on a site and it's filled with persons who may be from the south of us. But you never answered the question. You need 400 masons. Did you train 400 masons? The answer is no. The developer needs 400 masons. You know what he's going to do? He's going to acquire 400 masons.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simple to me. So, point. Until the policymakers, like you're making your point, begins to act like policymakers and respond to the challenge. And we've been saying for years, the challenge in the construction industry is there's lots of opportunity and work, and there's work coming up. And the labor that will take up the work will be persons who come into the country because we're not producing the skilled people at the rate, I didn't say at all, at the rate we need to fill the gap. There's about 25 to 30 persons enrolled and enrolled in programs at BTVI. The need is 400 in Exuma alone.
Yeah.
25 individuals.
Thank you very much.
You see the challenge?
Yeah.
You already get 375 persons short.
And hold on. And then you're just talking about skills, right? Let's layer that with organization, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just that I have a skilled worker. Now I need a skilled worker that can work on a team in conjunction with other skilled workers to hit timelines.
Absolutely, Aaron. Now, let me say this in closing. This year, a month ago, the government made that step with a national apprenticeship program that was launched on June 1. And I told them at the time, and I still stand behind it, your entry into it is, while it is late, it is admirable, but you're starting with a cohort group that's too small.
Yeah.
Your cohort group is 25.
Far too small.
Your cohort group should have started with 500.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. we are moving in the direction, albeit too slowly and too small. This is a national challenge that requires a national response. That's my commentary for the point.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So thank you very much. That was Mr. Leonard Sands, right? President or chairman of the Bahamas Contractors Association. Okay, I got some text here. Aaron, it's all of us. Corruption is given a blind eye. We have a duty of care. I didn't say only Haitians. I feel you. What is national security? Why is it that the Shantytown Act has not been implemented as yet? Are we to sit and hope the government are in our interest while sitting? We are being bananarized, turned into a banana republic. Okay, producer, prep the next caller. For the BPL WhatsApp channel, here's what to do. I went to Google, I searched BPL WhatsApp channel, and instructions popped up. It gave me a flyer with a QR code on it, but I want to... How am I going to capture the QR code with my phone if the QR code is on my phone? I'm not quite sure yet. The point is, it's possible. I think you search BPL Direct, and maybe it'll come up. But there's definitely a WhatsApp channel, timely updates, energy-saving tips, company news. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Good. Let me just comment on this immigration problem we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. When an illegal immigrant comes here, they don't bring a host with them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't bring a host. So number one, they have to find someplace to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they come here looking for a better way. So they have to be working. Somebody has to hire them in order for them to maintain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And a lot of people have a tendency to point on the Haitians. We do have a problem, yes. But watch the Chinese. Watch the Filipinos. Watch the Jamaicans. Watch the Greeks. They're coming in, not in a large number, you know. But when they're coming in, they move right into their little community, and they lost themselves in our society. How many Chinese do you ever see walking around here looking for work? And believe it or not, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of Chinese right here in New Providence alone.
Thank you, caller.
But they hire their own, and that's what keeps them underground. Same thing with the Greeks and the Filipinos.
I mean, this is how migration works. Right? Because
they have to come out because there's so much of them. Mind you, they help one another, you know. But there's only so much they can do.
I mean, they help one another. They help Bahamians. They help everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody just pointing the finger at them.
Yeah.
And the white people just getting straight through the cracks of it. You go into Laifiki now. If they have 10 houses in Laifiki, eight to nine of those keepers are Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So where they are, how they get you, you can't tell me you can't find a Bahamian to go to Laifiki to do housekeeping.
Oh, boy. I hear you. I hear you. Thank you very much, caller. Here's my thing on the labor and skilled labor thing. If I see you running a stop sign or a red light, I'm not inclined to hire you to work in my house. One day I had a plumbing issue. The boy said, "Miss, we're going to chop into the wall." I tell him, "No, you're not." And he said, "How are we going to get to the pipe?" "We got to chop into the wall." I said, "No, you're not." I was getting ready to curse this boy because he wasn't catching the play. I realized I didn't want him to do the work anymore. He said, "What's the problem, ma'am? We have to chop into the wall to get to the pipe." I said, "No, you don't." I said, "If you don't cut into this wall, if you don't measure where you need to put your blade and cut into this wall precisely, sir, we're going to have a problem. I am never, ever going to ever let anybody chop into a wall in my house." Right? And I don't think y'all like, I know you can't see it, right? But especially if you're in your company vehicle and you riding up on the sidewalk because the people at the light don't want to turn left on red, even though they're not permitted to turn left on red, how likely am I to hire you to do a job for me? You can't seem to organize yourself properly. Producer Les, prep that caller. Good day, BPL. WhatsApp channel doesn't exist. Just checked. Man, they got this flyer. Say BPL Direct, what, follow our WhatsApp channel. And I saw it before, so maybe it's possible that they pulled it down. Good day. Is anyone going to watch the budget debate today to find out why NHI is underfunded? Not between 10 and 12, but 12 and 2 hours is my boy. Not right now. Let's focus. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Can I call for
please? I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. It, like, it just dropped. Hi, so sorry. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how are you doing, Miss Green, Seattle and Jonathan?
Good morning, sir.
Are you there?
Morning, yes, sir.
Yes, for, for 15 years, I've been talking about this immigration problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the simplest method of achieving the parity that we want or the solution that we want, and that's the use of technology. And I told... and simply create a national ID system based on, which now can be based on the blockchain that has a smart infrastructure that actually moves towards data protection and abuse, basically like Estonia and other places that actually track everybody that access your information. These are minimalistic things that we have to do. But by having an ID system, you now know where every single person in the country is, which you should know.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, for instance, you have from 10th Dorian. I said this before Dorian, but 10th Dorian, we still trying to find out where our children under the age of 16 is, where you have the hospital sitting in knocking door to door to see if children is there to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
We should know where every single child in this Bahamas is.
Yep.
We have students in school in the custody, legal or illegal, in the custody of individuals where the law says you should have legal custody. That isn't where you go to my cousin and sign a JP and this you whatever. This is an actuality where the parent or legal court-ordered guardian for every single child under the 16 should be known by the education system. I can assure you, rest assured, we have students from Abaco that has yet to be found.
Yep.
Okay? Because if you go back to the thing, you had teachers who said they were trying to, the schools who said they were trying to reconstruct by reaching out to teachers they could find to find out who was in their classes to see which amongst them would be the, about those 1,500 people that are missing.
Mm-hmm. And post...
You have so much defect, but you have, in the whole aspect of a national ID system, once you then enforce the immigration posture, every single person who goes for a job could be subject to the verification system that is there digitally. Mm-hmm. And if anybody hires someone who has not been verified, they'll be subject to that fine, $5,000, $10,000, whatever. But here's what happens to beauty with it. Every single behemoth then becomes, or every legal person then becomes an immigration officer. Why? Because if you get 20% of the fine, so when you make that report to the immigration that, hey, see, Alan is here, I just asked him, you know, I'll be there saying, you know, person there, I say, hey, Bob, you got your, you ever got your paperwork straight? He said, no. I said, oh, man, I forgot to tell my wife to take the part of the store. I go outside, hey, immigration, hey, this guy named Bob, you're not working. They come find the people, give me $1,000 for the fine, right there on the spot.
Okay.
So everybody becomes a self-keeping individual.
I know, but I just want to say I don't like the idea of paying people to round up my
No, you're not paying people to round up. You're paying people for any act of illegality.
I feel you.
Report.
No, right? I understand.
Right. You're not rounding them up. But what it does is it shows people that people are watching that if you want that work, it's do the right thing. Or pay the $5,000 or $10,000 fine. But at the same time, we now have an identification system that gives us access to services, that gives us access to everything. But it also allows us to right-size our voter's role. It allows us also to define. This is the most important thing. We have this conversation about individuals that are not citizens, that have no identification system that could be authenticated by, you know, the government or something.
Mm-hmm.
You can now have different class of identification that allows them to have all the privileges of our citizenship except for the right to vote. They can open bank accounts, they can go to school, they can do all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not something that's new. This is something that countries have been doing for 50 years.
Thank you, Alan.
You know, the question is, do we really want to fix the immigration problem? Do we really want to fix the voters' role? Do we really want to fix our country? Or is an ending, listen to this, less than one year away from the second quarter in the 21st century, and we're still struggling with 20th century concept. Maybe this class of leaders we have is just not the case.
I hear you, C. Allen. I want to say thank you for your contribution. On the other side of the break, I'm going to get to all the texts. And this headline, Hannah Martin announces school ID system designed to control access. Right? So it's just an interesting link. And remind me the story where the reserve officer found himself in the classroom beating children. Even though all of the authorities is like, we don't even know why this boy was here.
I remember public high schools having IDs before.
Yeah.
They should be clipped on their lapel pin. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what happened. So it's not something being introduced. It's something
being reintroduced. Absolutely. Yeah. We go into the break. When we get back from the break, more stories. And one of the callers in Texas say, why y'all ain't talking about the police shooting? We could talk about the police shooting in the last minutes of the show. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Get ready to whine. Everybody jumping up and staying in the place. Become the Kion Baka, staying in the place. It's time to dance and shape and staying in the place.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer.
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302 on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Kid Dynamite! Smokey, that girl call you. Baby, she go to-do. But she won't carry through. Hey. Man, what she want you to do? She needs someone to break down she building. She needs someone to make it explode. She asked you for a horse, stick the dynamite. To make it collapse and to implode.
What you want, baby?
She says she want the big combustion.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. Mr. Newry, if I won the Guardian Media Group and Going Places cruise giveaway promotion, you know I'm taking KB on the cruise with me, right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which room he could be in?
It don't matter. Wherever he wants to stay, he could stay.
Okay.
Once a day in Lila room, because I'm taking Lila on the cruise with me too.
Okay.
He can't stay in that room. He can't stay in my room. Yeah. He can stay wherever. Why are you going to go on a cruise and you don't take KB with you?
Yeah, that sounds like four people right there.
That's what I'm saying. You on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter. That means four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Or four, make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27, 2025. Drawing on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Remember, certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. Let's get back to the text line. Texter says, I found a BPL channel after plenty digging. Texter, what is it called? What do I search to find it? What is the channel labeled as? Here's another text. Good morning, Miss Green, about moving heavy equipment. If you ticketed my cousin them for destruction of public roads, maybe they would consider transporting via trailer. Miss Green, immigration needs another cousin Roker. At the policy level, like I say, the issue is not whether people are enforcing the policy. The issue is, what is the actual policy? And is it contrary to what the vast majority of Bahamians think it is? Here's another text. Yeah, it says, Nuri, confirming what you said earlier, someone was arrested in GB for setting multiple fires. Another text, here's what I believe is true about any migrant population. The larger the number of migrants, the greater probability that you have bad actors among them. It's true. I think right, like, that kind of makes sense. The same is true for a Bahamian population. The larger the population of an island, the more likely it is that you have bad Bahamian actors among them. We cannot be blind. There are violent Haitian gangs among us. Let's not whitebrush that topic like we did for corruption on the police force. Until an outside power shows us clearly, hey guys, we have evidence of this thing existing among you. We have criminals here who are Haitian and Haitian descent. The only question is how many, and is it growing? All right, thank you very much, Texter, for those sober words. Here's another text. Aaron, which migrant demographics eating and living in bush breaking our environmental laws? It goes beyond who like Haitians. That last caller missed the point. Why talk about crime without juxtaposing it with illegal migration? Listen, I am not saying that we don't juxtapose it to illegal migration. What I'm saying to you, though, is what's happening? Are these people being invited here? Mr. Fred Mitchell stated, right, that he tired of talking about it. Like, we don't want to understand what the truth is, that we need to increase our population because of genetic issues. We need to increase our population to expand the tax base, and we need to increase our population to expand our labor force. Those were his words. Now, I don't know, I can't remember, I think he was speaking as a chairman in a voice note. I don't think he was speaking as Minister of Foreign Affairs. I don't think he was speaking as MP for Fox Hill. But the point is, he said it multiple times. And that's the space that we go into when we have a conversation about juxtaposing crime and illegal migration. All right, Texter sent me the link, okay, to follow the BPL direct channel on WhatsApp. You go to, they sent me a link. It's whatsapp.com/channel and then a whole bunch of numbers. I'm going to see what I could do. I'm going to post this link on my various Facebook pages and ask Morning Blend to do the same. Okay, so watch this. That story, I have it on deck, you know. I have a bunch of stories on deck. Barnaby fails to address budget overrun by beaches and parks, all the way back to 2022 when Minister says he ordered Beaches Parks Authority to overspend. Abaco Keys, growing immigration crisis at boiling point. SCB trains police to aid them in prosecution of financial crimes. Too many Bahamians fall victim to fraudsters. Again, the Hannah Martin Education Minister School ID system story. As to the police reserve officer killed along with attacker in gunfight, I have a ton of questions to ask about this matter. Lots of them. We didn't get to them today. That does not mean I don't have the story on deck. Also, King's birthday honors announced. Talmadge Raymond Leo Pinder Sr. is receiving the Officer of the British Empire for service in business. Cynthia Allison Donaldson receives the Member of the British Empire for services in the field of public service and activism. Eva Hilton will receive an MBE for services in the field of education. Ida May Hanna will receive the honor for services in the field of health and wellness. And Commissioner Shanta Knowles is being awarded the King Police Medal for services in the field of law enforcement. We're all out of time. Thanks for joining me this morning. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.